Today, we're going to start with a simple question that we ask the employees of the Humble IPA.
During stressful times, what brings you joy? What do you do to deal with stress?
So I've been less so now that I'm back at work, but definitely the days I was working from home, sort of picking one album a day to listen to all the way through. And there have been some goodies coming out. I was mentioning last week to the gals, I listened to Jagged Little Pill from, Alanis Morissette. I've not listened to that in like 10 years. It was amazing. So, and all the stuff like listened to with my parents, like Graceland. And anyways, it's been really sparking joy.
Yeah, I will definitely echo music and dance and getting outside are three things that really kind of keep my life together.
Reading. I've been on a kick of women in science and technology lately, and it's been really interesting.
I'll piggyback off of what Carrie said, and being outside, going to the river has been huge. I think we did five out of six of the six rivers in the Six Rivers National Forest this year. So far, we're just missing the Smith River that we haven't swam in. And it's just, it feels like a soul cleanse sometimes being out there in the river.
I like working in my yard and gardening or weeding, whatever, and FaceTiming with my grandkids. I'm good at the river too. That makes me super happy, but just call up my grandkids and see their cute little faces. Makes me super happy.
I am a big letter writer and postcard sender, and I also hope for mail in return. Sometimes I get it back, but both the sending and receiving of mail brings me a lot of joy.
I'll share on top of a lot of what everybody said. But cooking. I love to eat and I love to try new recipes, and it's just such a nice time with the garden going and the farmers markets to cook something that maybe I thought I didn't know how, or to figure out a way to feel a little more comfortable in the kitchen. And I love cooking and I love eating.
Animals definitely bring me joy. My wife actually volunteers at a cat shelter, and they got a bunch of kittens in recently, and so I got to have a bunch of kittens on my lap, which was definitely nice.
Working outside in the yard, and on the new property I have, just like clearing space and clearing some of the old brush and trees really makes me feel good to have an open space to plant a new tree or new flowers, so that's been really fun to do.
I think for a lot of us, staying within our comfort zone is really comfortable, right? To do the things that we know makes us feel good. But, for me, I'm trying to push beyond my comfort zone and do things that I might not normally think bring me joy, and you never know. So I would encourage you all to try something new if it's comfortable for you, because some days are tough, and we need to explore how to make days easier as much as possible for our sake and those around us, right? It's much easier to be around people that are not completely stressed out. So yeah. So do what you love, do something that you may not realize that you love, and add that to your repertoire.
So this episode was technically supposed to be the episode that was all in Spanish, and the next episode was going to be on stress. But we ran into a few hiccups, and we decided to not stress ourselves out over the whole thing, so we switched the two around, which is actually a great stress management technique, being flexible and adjusting. Thank you to everyone for their contributions, and perhaps that gave you some ideas on how to bring in some more joy to your day. Small moments of joy, some call them joy points, are a way to manage stress. And as I mentioned, today we're going to be talking about stress because it can be helpful to appreciate the power of stress and what it can do to the body. and then I'll offer some realistic things that you might want to try for yourself. And this is a lot of information, and I promise I'm not trying to stress you out with this conversation on stress. So just focusing on a few things, maybe even just one thing that could help. Stress gets a bad rap, but we need it. The right amount keeps us safe because it can alert us to a problem. It can motivate us, helps us compete and be productive. But too much is too much, and that's what we're talking about today. The stress response, it's an automatic thing in our bodies. You've heard of it, called fight or flight, and there's a recently added one called freeze. And when our brain gets the alarm that something is wrong, a whole cascade of changes occur in the body. Stress hormones surge, things like adrenaline and cortisol, and there's other ones. Heart rate and blood pressure and breathing rate increase. Our liver pumps out glucose. Food is rushed through the digestive tract. The pupils dilate, turning our eyes into like fly eyes. So instead of looking at the person standing in front of us talking, we actually just kind of see motion because we're waiting for the attack. Awareness intensifies. Non-urgent body functions decrease, like metabolism and the reproductive system, because we don't need to turn the chicken that we've eaten into muscle if we're not going to be alive in a couple minutes. And same with the reproductive system. We don't need to worry about the next generation if we're not going to be around in 5 minutes. But that switch is not meant to be kept on very long because it's exhausting for the body to do all those things. Plus, think about the long-term problems that are caused if our blood pressure is constantly raised or our digestive system isn't working right because it's being bypassed or our reproductive functions are impacted. But that's exactly what happens when we lose healthy coping skills or actually never learn them in the first place. And thinking back to the caveman and cavewoman days, it was a tiger that caused that response. And our cave ancestors survived by running or fighting or freezing. But that tiger has now turned into the people we live with and the people we work with. It's the bills we struggle to pay. It's the news and conspiracy theories. It's trauma in our past. It's institutionalized racism and misogyny. We can't run away from or fight these types of chronic problems, so we've got to figure out what to do with that stress, because otherwise it will impact your health in one way or another. So you might be thinking, that's all great information, Juliet, but I'm not stressed. I don't need this information. And I used to think the same exact thing until I started doing presentations on stress and got to this next piece of information, the symptoms of stress, how it presents in the body. Because everyone experiences it a little differently. And there's three basic categories: physical, emotional, and behavioral. And so I think the physical and emotional ones are the ones that we contribute to or attribute to stress. So things like sweaty palms and heartburn, stomach issues, but things like pounding heart, rapid heart rate, and chest pain, feeling dizzy, those are symptoms of a panic attack, which if you've ever had one are absolutely terrifying. It makes you feel like you're having a heart attack. Headaches and skin rashes, stomach issues, so diarrhea and constipation and nausea. Stress settles in the gut. And so that is a very common symptom of stress, is gut issues. The next column is emotional. So feeling very irritable, a lack of patience, preoccupied, hard to concentrate on things, quick temper, overly sensitive or quick to tears, a negative attitude, being very anxious, and depression, or feeling depressed, feeling lonely, feeling isolated. The last column is behavioral, so sleeping more or less. I think we can all agree that we've had sleep issues at one time or another, and I half-heartedly joke that I didn't even realize how worried I was about certain things until it's 4:30 in the morning on some nights, and I just become paralyzed with guilt and regret and worry. And then once I fall back to sleep in the morning, I can't even remember what those things were. It's really wild what the 4:30 a.m. go around does to us. Eating more or less, angry outbursts, inappropriate responses, that's one of mine for sure. I come from the East Coast, and sarcasm I've always felt is part of my charm. There's a hardness, I think, to people that are from the East Coast. And I used to think it was just part of who I was, just kind of that like angry edge in a way. But as I have learned living in California now for 10 years, is that sarcasm is, it's just not nice. It's not funny. It's kind of mean. But when I am stressed, sarcasm, I hit my sarcasm roots hard. And so I have to rely on the expressions of others when I say something that I think is funny or it's like edgy, but it's not landing right because it's mean, perhaps, that I have to look at the other person's face and their face is kind of telling me like, ugh, like Juliet, like that was so awful, or like you're such a jerk. When I see that face, that's a cue for me to double down on my stress management techniques. Withdrawing is another behavioral symptom. Excessive procrastination. Procrastination is normal, but when it gets to be excessive, that's a sign of stress for sure. And then increased drug use, which includes alcohol and nicotine as well. So perhaps listening to that list, a few things strike me as, gosh, all those things come from stress. And the answer is yes, they are all caused by stress. I think every health problem we have is really boiled down, it boils down to stress. And so perhaps you've heard one or two or five or 20 things that resonate with you that make you realize perhaps that dealing with stress could be helpful. Okay, so now you know more about stress and the ways it might be affecting you, and maybe by now you're asking what you can do about it. And I'll tell you. And here's where it can start to feel overwhelming. So I'll encourage you to pick one or two things that sound good for you and that are realistic in these times to add in. One of the best things to do to manage stress is to get good sleep. And if you're not getting good rest, you're putting band-aids on everything else. The three things that impact sleep the most, in my opinion, are alcohol, screens close to bedtime, like iPad, phone, TV, computer, and the like, and not getting enough physical activity. Alcohol acts in two different ways when it metabolizes in the body. First, it acts like a depressant, which makes us feel sleepy, and then it acts like a stimulant, which wakes us up typically around 4 a.m. Screens are engaging, and the light messes with our melatonin levels, and we'll talk more about physical activity in a moment. The next level is food, and food's tricky because when we are feeling stressed, the body craves sugar because it thinks we need immediate fuel to fight or flight or freeze. So it craves the sugar to give us that immediate energy, and then sugar highs, sugar lows, that leads to more stress in the body and it leads to wanting more junk food. So if you can just take a look at your diet and make any amount of changes, is it cutting back on soda? Is it adding more vegetables ideally? And really the simplest way to describe a healthy way of eating is a lot of vegetables, fresh fruit, you're making most of your food and you're limiting processed, packaged, frozen processed food. And back to physical activity. I said I would talk about physical activity a moment. And when we are stressed, those stress hormones are building up in our body. That saying, stewing in our own juices, is very applicable here because we just keep building up those stress hormones and we keep having that stress response in the body. But physical activity, think of what the stress response, it wants us to run. It wants us to fight. It wants us to do something active. That's what those hormones are driving us to do. And physical activity releases those hormones. And extra bonus, there's so many benefits of physical activity between helping our bowel movements, helping our mental health. It helps our brain. It helps our heart. It reduces the sugar in our bloodstream. So it helps manage diabetes and manage pre-diabetes. And extra bonus, it makes us tired, which helps us sleep, which is one of the best things that you can do for stress management. The recommendations for activity are 30 minutes on most days of the week at an intensity that's around a 6 out of 10 for you. And that all looks different. If you are not getting any activity, you just start where you are. Maybe that's taking a 5-minute walk one day a week. That's great. And then you build from there. So just do what you can. If there's limitations, think about something else. Chair exercise or gentle yoga. Any amount of activity is beneficial to the body. Those are the things that help the physical body. And now we'll talk about how to help the mind. Because believe it or not, the mind is part of the body. So what's good for one is good for the other. That's what makes healthy changes so awesome, because it truly doesn't matter where you start. One healthy, positive change will help you feel a little bit better and to help you put it all down for a moment. Because that's the best we can do sometimes. In the face of so many big things, we can put it all down and be present to see the small good things around us and be present for the people we love. The more good news about taking care of the mind is that there's a lot of options to choose from. Taking slow, deep breaths is a great start. Slow, deep breathing starts a cascade of its own in the body, and it's the opposite of the stress response. Blood pressure lowers, heart rate lowers. Breathing from our belly turns on the side of our nervous system called the rest and digest side. Doesn't that sound nice? Rest and digest. We could all use more of that. The best part is that we always have our breath with us. So wherever you are right now, take a slow, deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. And take another one like that, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And take one more and send that breath down into the belly. Let the belly expand. And then just pay attention to the feeling of the weight of your body. Your feet on the ground. If you're sitting, your bum in a seat. Maybe your hands are on your lap. And then just focus of where you feel your breath the most. Is it in and out of your nostrils, the chest, the belly? And then see if you can pay attention to one breath from the beginning of the inhale to the beginning of the exhale. And now see if you can follow another breath like that from the beginning to the end. And then come back to the feeling of the weight of your body. And let's get back to the rest of this episode. A step further from breathing exercises is meditation. And there are a lot of online resources for meditation since it's the internet, and there's a lot of resources for everything. I'd like to offer my personal experience with it. I resisted it for years because it sounded a little too weird for me, honestly. But I eventually tried it, and it was close to impossible for me to sit still and be quiet for 2 minutes because I didn't even know what I was supposed to be doing, and it felt kind of useless. Like I just wasted the time sitting there. It actually made me feel a little worse when I was done because the thoughts I was trying to ignore all day were now front and center in my head. But I kept seeing articles and reading about the endless benefits, so I just did it sporadically here and there. But then I started to notice small changes. One being that I was slower to verbally react to others. Like I was given a 2 or 3 second delay before I said something sarcastic. And then I realized that I didn't need to say anything at all in those moments. So I started to do it more often, and now years later, I have a regular practice where I meditate for 10 to 15 minutes most days of the week. And for me, it gives me more patience. Patience with myself and patience with those around me. It turned my long list of things I need to do from, God, I got a million things to do, into, yeah, I got a million things to do. It doesn't change anything. All of my and the world's problems are still there, but with meditation, I can handle it. I don't feel like I'm drowning. I use an app called Headspace, and there's the typical 10 days for free and then a subscription fee that follows. But for the indefinite future, they've offered a free section called Weathering the Storm that everyone can access. And just to note that I don't get any compensation from Headspace. I wish I did, but I don't. Moving on, the last thing I'll talk about that can help manage stress is connection, which takes a lot of different forms. It could be connection to nature, which is incredibly helpful. Connection to others is critical to our overall well-being because then we realize that we're part of something bigger. In this time of physical distancing, we need to be a little creative, of course. Phone calls, writing letters, taking walks, meeting up with friends in a COVID-safe way, going to the beach alone or with others. Because even when we do things by ourselves, but other people are around, that counts for connection because we see other people there and realize that other people love the beach too. And that makes us feel like a part of something bigger, like part of a community. Volunteering is another way to be part of a community. Again, it takes a little creativity, but there are plenty of organizations that need help and are not requiring being face-to-face. So if volunteering is for you, then think of what you love doing and see if there's something related to that. The last piece of connection is to ourselves through therapy or journaling or paying attention to our self-talk and checking it when it becomes overly critical or negative. With journaling, it could be a general summary of the day or a place to write down hopes and dreams. A deceptively simple journaling activity is called Three Good Things, where you write down three good things that happened that day, big or small, it doesn't matter. You can stop there with just a short list, or you can add what role you played in that good thing. I do this from time to time, and it makes me slow down and realize that good things happen. In the midst of all the day-to-day stress we endure, and then added on the stress that's going on in the world right now, there are still good things happening. And then what starts to happen is that you start to look for good things and appreciate them a little bit more. So that's it. That's all you need to do to manage stress. And again, joking aside, thinking of one or two things that might fit into your day or days. If you're feeling really overwhelmed, then I encourage you to start very small. I think a great place to start is with physical activity because it helps with so many things. But it doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what you think and what you want to do. This podcast is about shining a light on the healthy, hopeful, positive things going on in our community. And we believe that wellness coaching is one of those good things. Wellness coaching is a partnership between you and your coach. And rather than tell you what to do, you and your coach discover creative and realistic ways for you to meet your health and wellness goals by focusing on your strengths and what's important to you. Wellness coaching is one of the many services offered at the Priority Care Center. And for more information about wellness coaching or any of the other services, call us at 707-442-0478. or check out our website at thehumbleipa.com under Health and Wellness. The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Ave in Eureka, and we provide primary care, mental health counseling, care coordination, wellness coaching to people with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield HMO, Anthem Blue Cross HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast, brought to you ad-free by the Humboldt Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliet Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music created by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Estes, Jessica Osborne Staffness, Mary Nickel, Patty Torres, and Vanessa Verdiak. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouten for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, rate, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. Be part of the good, Humboldt.